foreign to Christianity even just 100 years ago. And in light of eternity, 100 years, even in human history, 100 years is nothing. It's nothing. I'm 61 years old. I'm half of that plus. Yeah, I can count. Melissa, I can count. So it's a little bit more than half. It's amazing. People have twisted these notions up and got so many things in the way of freedom. I can earn it. Well, you can't earn it. Well, they earned it. No, they didn't earn it. They did earn it. And then the other extreme, what we have more today, is I get to live and do whatever I want to do. Now, there's a sense that's true. But if your heart is in tune with God, you do what you know would be pleasing to the Lord, and that's freedom. That's freedom. Now, here's the problem. Both of these are man-centered and not God-centered. Legalism is man-centered. It's man-centered. The idea that I get to do whatever I want, that's obvious. I is in the middle of pride. That's man-centered, just the same. Now, it's different, but it's the same. It reminds me of my brother talking after he had a stroke. It's different, but the same. You know, he would throw down all kinds of things and you say, how does that make sense? Well, it makes sense if you just got to understand what he was trying to say or what he was saying in his own mind. But both of these are man-centered. Both of these seem to be more attractive to humanity than the truth. It's sort of like somebody so loves to lie so much they'd rather climb a tree and tell a lie than stay on the ground and tell the truth. It'd be easier for you to admit the truth that we're sinners, and the only way a sinner can be saved is looking to Jesus Christ who paid for your sins. Why is that so difficult? Well, I'll tell you why it's so difficult. Because they have to kick pride, self, in the back seat. Because they have to acknowledge, I can't save myself. So it appeals to the pride of humanity. Either extreme appeals still to the pride of humanity. And so it basically gets your eyes off the Lord. And you get your eyes off the Lord, you're not going up, you're going down. You're going down. Now, God gives us four reasons here for this freedom in this chapter. Let me give you those. Where did my time go? Number one, to put down the flesh. Now, putting down the flesh, the first thing we should think of is not putting down others' flesh, but putting down our own. Putting down our own flesh. Look at verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Now, that's really talking about your flesh. All right, so don't use your liberty as an occasion to try to hide the works of your flesh. All right, so honor the freedom that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ by choosing to do right. Choosing to do right of your own freedom. You know, people say, well, you know, if you put your boot, you know, now they don't say this, but this is what they mean. If you put your boot on the back of your Christians, people, members of your neck, you'll have a bigger crowd here and you'll have a bigger crowd. We might. We certainly might do that. And there's no question that others have. There's no question in my mind that others have. And that would be successful if you think that's success. I don't personally think that's success. I think it's success if you come here on Wednesday night when you want to be here. You want to be in the house of God. You want to serve God with your life. You want to give your tithes and offerings. Not that somebody's bending your arm and twisting you up in like a pretzel on fair day so that you'll serve God. I want you to freely choose to serve who you love. And if you love Him, you'll serve Him. Man, I don't want anything to do with that. You know, that boot on the back of your neck kind of feeling that you're just oppressive bunch of people. Why would I want to join that crowd? I don't want to be a part of that. So honor the freedom by choosing to do right, and then honor the freedom by refusing to do wrong. Honor that freedom by refusing to do wrong. It's, you know, they got a mess up there at Oklahoma, and what happened is that's indirectly affecting Heartland is the darling of the school was a pastor up there in Stillwater, Oklahoma, the darling. And he's now for 10, 12 years been living a dual life. And, you know, he's this, look at me, I'm the model for everything of everybody. Well, I've never thought of that myself. I've never had two words with a man and probably didn't choose to have one. But he's the model, you know, supposedly. But the man was living a dual life and telling all these young people, young preachers, you know, who are subject to influence of their elders, like anybody else would be, that you need to take these 30-day breaks out of the ministry. What do they call them? Sabbaticals. Sounds really good. Sabbaticals. It's just an extended time off. Okay, but here's the thing. Taking time off to go commune with God every year, sometimes over a month long, but not with your wife. Now, I like going hunting, and I wish my wife liked to go hunting with me, but I don't even sleep well without my wife. And if I'm going to be gone for 30 days, I got news for you. She's going with me. I can't imagine living a life with somebody I married that I don't want to be around. And if I want to be distant and no way to contact, you can't have a phone, you can't call me, you won't know where I'm going. How many wrongs do you need to stack up before you start smelling a rat? I mean, talking about something stinks in Denmark. You know, but here's, you say, how does this even happen? Well, it's by somebody choosing to choose wrong. Now, it's not that difficult to choose right. The man even admitted in a supposed letter of repentance that his wife was a good wife and she did all the things she was supposed to do and all that kind of stuff. Well, that be the case, what's the matter with you, Bubba? The Apostle Paul said this in 8:13. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. It's Romans 8:13, sorry. Ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. It's your choice. 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul says, I die daily. So daily, Paul is teaching. I'd say daily Paul would strive to do this because he's teaching. He knows it's the responsibility to do it, but he still has the flesh dragging around behind him, right? Right? Yet to be redeemed, the ultimate redemption, the redemption of our body. So he's going to have struggles as well. If we think Paul didn't struggle, you haven't read the book. Paul had struggles too, but what he's saying is the prescription is that we would mortify the deeds of the flesh daily. Why? Because that doesn't contribute to freedom and liberty. It contributes to bondage. Just the opposite. So we ought to die daily. So freedom in Christ does not allow for the pampering or promotion of an inflated ego of self. Doesn't allow for it. That's the major difference, I would say, between Christianity 100 years ago and Christianity today. Because Christianity today is basically whatever your ego wants, do that, just put a cross on it, and everything's cool. But that's not Christianity. I mean, read the book about sacrifice and sacrificing for others and sacrificing for Christ and being willing to do that all for the cause of Christ, not for cause of self. Get rich. Where did he come up with this stuff? You come up with it with a self-inflated ego overriding or overlaid across the Word of God. Now, Jude warns us for this in Jude verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. That's just a big word for wickedness. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They're always creeping in. And you have to learn how to get a fly swatter and keep them out. Now, number two, lovingly serving others. Look at Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use the liberty, not liberty for the occasion to the flesh, but, contrast, by love, serve one another. Serve one another. I was thinking about doing a whole other message soon about one another. There's so many one another's in admonition in the Scripture. Now, of course, the Lord provides the model and the means. Luke 22:24, and there also strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. And but ye shall not be so. In other words, that's not to be the way you roll. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. So service, being a true servant. The Lord was the greatest man, the Son of Man, to ever walk this planet. And he was the best servant of any and all men. The best servant. Amazing. Of course, I was talking to Brother Gabe the other day about this passage in Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. You know, the greatest way to get your mind off of self is put your mind on somebody else and serve them. One of the best ways to get your mind, your heart off of yourself is love somebody else and choose, by discipline, choose to serve them. Now, we should do that by love, but duty will work too. Somebody the other day is talking about, oh, don't like duty, it's a bad word. Duty's not a bad word, but it's better to love. Let me prove that to you. If you want to love and be faithful to your husband or wife out of duty, you're still being faithful to your husband or wife. But better to do that, being faithful to your husband or your wife, because you love God and you love them. But both are good. One superior to the other, I would confess. But they are both good. Duty is a good word. Is a good word. All right, number three. Oh, let me give you one other verse. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4:1, charity suffereth long and is kind. Verse 5 says, seeketh not her own. So a selfless love in service. Why do we do what we do? Because we love and we want to see them edified. We want to see them build up. We want to see them do well, right? See them do well. So last night, you know, Garrett's walking up there, you know, to give his speech. And he was walking up there to get the speech and being awarded something. I said, you the man, Garrett, you the man, you know. And then I couldn't leave Lauren out. You know, I don't want to leave the girls out, sweet girls. And so they had the young women up there. One of them's great with child, you know, a good, faithful Baptist. Amen. Good, faithful Baptist. Amen. Okay. You had been pregnant a long time, I guess. Anyway, he's going up there to do his thing, and I said, you the man. So Lauren, they finally get up there, and they're getting flowers, little yellow roses and all. And the others, you know, and they were just doing their thing. And Lauren, just a little polite little thing she is, you know, and she just waited, thank you for the flowers, taking my picture. Okay, now it's time for me to sit down. I ain't going to let them outshine you. So she goes to sit down by her mom, dad, and all down here. The whole row's, you know, covered with the Gaiosos clan, you know. And I said, Lauren, you're the best. You're the best. Well, in my mind, she is. You know, she's the best of that lot. And I don't know the others, but she's still better than them. But she's the best. It's a matter of wanting to be an encouragement to somebody else. You see what I'm saying? It's, you know, Brother Garrett's up there, and he makes mention of my name, and I'm there to support him. I'm there to support Lauren. I'm there to support their kids so they see that I'm there to support their daddy. That's important to me. Now, did I feel like going? No. I could have easily turned around halfway across there and had a perfectly good excuse. I'm not feeling well, but I wanted to be there. And is it going to cost me something? Yeah, I paid most of the debt to today. Because of that. But it's something I want to do. And I want to encourage somebody else to do well. And I want Garrett to do well. By the way, I don't want you to talk about this outside of our church, but it looks like he's the first candidate up at that church. Okay? And they're not going to do what they call a beauty contest. So I've called it a popularity contest. And that's good. And that's wise, by the way. And so it looks like he's first up. And so now you keep that to yourself for right now, but I'm thankful for that. Number three, the fulfilling of God's moral law, of course, with a free conscience. In other words, I want to do right because it's right, because I love Him. It'll change you more than anything. Regarding mankind's relationship to man, Paul says this in Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we don't have a problem loving ourselves. And people say, oh, I don't love myself. Well, that may be a true issue. Some people really don't love themselves. But it's not natural. It's natural for you to love yourself, feed yourself, take care of yourself, all those things, right? And the Lord's just saying, love others the way you would love yourself. Now, God's nature has never changed, of course, nor his standards of right and wrong. And love is the fulfillment of the law. In Romans 13:8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. In Romans 13:10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. The last one, I'm going to run out of time, is stop harming others. Not just do good to others, but don't harm others. Don't harm others. And I have little tolerance for some things. And harming a child is one of those. I get pretty ugly pretty quick. Somebody starts to harm children. We have, things in place here to protect the children, but also have things in place here to protect our women folk. Okay? Now, you say, I don't like that. I didn't ask if you did or not. I'm just saying, I don't have much tolerance for people going around hurting women and children. I will get crossways pretty quick with somebody like that. You say, well, I'm a feminist. Well, not that much you're not. You know, if somebody starts beating on you, you turn away from that pretty quick, especially if there's a man right there who's capable of stopping whoever it is beating on you. Well, I've had a conversion of sorts. Well, thank God you and your bobbed hair, you've had a conversion, and all of a sudden you decided you want to be a girl. Well, I'm saying, okay, be a girl all along. But stop harming others. Verse 15 says, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Now, it's the negative side of the second reason of Paul's freedom that he's talking about here. Why does he hit the negative side of the second positive point? Because men have a tendency to destroy one another. To destroy one another. It doesn't take much to destroy somebody else's life. It takes a whole lot more work to build up somebody's life. It does. It takes a lot of work, a lot of time to build up somebody else's life. That's why sometimes, the preachers, I was talking to one of the officers over there, and we're talking about training. And, we talked about Brother Giordano and the link to Brother Josh over there that died of the heart attack. And they're talking about, training, and I was trying to get across to them. Our training and what we seek to do here in the training of the youngers, whether they're that much younger like Giordano or not, we're trying to train them towards long-term pastoral ministry. And there's a huge difference between short-term pastoral ministry a long-term pastoral ministry. Huge difference between the two. And we're trying to train them in a way that they are capable, if the Lord will allow. Now, I know sometimes the Lord doesn't allow, but if the Lord is pleased that they are capable of staying somewhere and planting seeds and working those relationships and working their folk and the folk working with them, and they build something great together. But that takes time. And honestly, it takes a lot of time, a lot more time than I would like for it to take. Say, hey, Lord, the clock's ticking. Wish you'd come on and get with it, And he says, no, you're just going to have to wait on me. You realize, when I took this church, I got to quit. When I took this church, it was a mess. It was a mess. I'm not going to go in detail. You don't want to hear it anyway. It was a mess. It took us five years to just turn the corner. Just turn the corner. Now, a lot of people walk in the door today, they wouldn't give you 5 years if their life depended upon it to wait and wait on God and have all that dynamic and all worked out. But that's what sin can do. And it really disrupted a lot of good things in a lot of people's lives. And you just had to be patient. Patient. Certainly Rome wasn't built in a day, and lives are not changed in a day, and lives are not rescued in a day. And it takes a long time to do these things. And training men to realize you just can't rush in and just do heebie-jeebies over everybody and everybody's spiritual all of a sudden. It didn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. It's a journey. It's a pilgrimage of struggle, give and take, forbearance with one another, praying for one another, forgiving one another. I mean, how many times have I made boneheaded mistakes? I mean, mistakes. I made one just the other night. You know what it was? You know what it was? You know, fatigue, whatever you want to say. I've never said that here before. You say, now I really want to know what you're talking about. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, I wouldn't normally say something like that. That's a mistake. In my judgment, I shouldn't have said that. Now you say, well, that's a big deal. I'd say that word all the time. Well, you may, but I don't. Okay? But it just takes a long time to edify, and it takes such a short time to destroy. To destroy. And here he's saying, if you want freedom, if you want to enjoy freedom, you have to work on both doing good, but also not doing wrong. Not doing wrong. Yeah, either one of them can end your ministry. Either one of them can end well-doing. If you go to work and you don't perform, don't do what you're supposed to do, you're probably not going to last there long unless you work for a union. Okay? Because you're not producing. But at the same time, if you go in, you let the air out of everybody's tires in the parking lot and they find out it was you by security camera, you probably won't last long there either. Right? And you probably shouldn't. In my mind, you shouldn't at all. You know, I mean, today you can't fire somebody even if they did something like that. Well, I don't agree with that. I think you ought to be able to fire them and fire them on the spot. I think it'd be pretty dumb to let all the air out of somebody's tires on the parking lot if they have a security camera. But if you have to do it, make sure they don't have a security camera. Let's stand together for prayer. I'm kidding.